The world and its pleasures make a strong bid for every life that is born. But at best, the world's pleasures are only temporary. It is Jesus Christ who provides lasting peace and happiness. Stay with us as we think more about this. In our study of John's Gospel, chapter 6, we now return to the northeast shore of Galilee, where there seemed to be some consternation regarding the absence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read in verse 22, "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone." Both Matthew and Mark tell us that Jesus constrained the multitude to leave before he went up into the mountain to pray. But some of them were determined that Jesus should become their king. Thus they stayed on all through the night, expecting to see him again in the morning. Well, news spread rapidly after the feeding of the multitude. Verse 23, "Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks." Gradually the shoreline became crowded with small boats manned by curiosity seekers who had come to see Jesus. Doubtless there were some sincere souls who were more than curiosity seekers, but many of those who had hastened to the area were coming merely to join the others in their attempt to compel Jesus to become their king. They too were interested in bread without work. Verse 24 says, "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus." It's hard to estimate how many people might have been in that crowd. Many of them left when our Lord urged them to leave. On the other hand, many remained, and of course the crowd was getting larger continually by those who were coming in from other areas. They crowded into the little boats that lined the shore and departed for the west side of the sea, since Jesus was no longer in the mountain. Theirs was a pleasant trip, with no storm such as Christ's followers faced. It is not known just where they landed. John simply says, "They came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus." Now, it would seem that when the many ships arrived, Jesus was down at the shore, for he was found very easily. I read in verse 25, "When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" Now, the word "when" carries the thought of how. Doubtless, some of them were more alarmed at this than when they saw him feed the multitude. They knew there had only been one boat by the seaside when the disciples left. When did Jesus leave the mountain? And how could he have possibly gotten to Capernaum? Well, Christ never permitted himself to become involved with trivialities. If he had told them how he had gotten to Capernaum, they probably would not have believed him. He proceeded immediately to get to the heart of the matter. Verse 26, "Ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Christ revealed the true nature of their hearts. They were insincere, hypocritical. Jesus said to them, "Ye seek me." It would have been wonderful if he could have said, "Ye seek me because ye love me," but such was not the case. They sought him for selfish gain. Well, our Lord made it clear that his real ministry was not to feed people, but to save people. He says in verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." The seekers who had come to Jesus desired help for the temporal, but he had something better to offer: help for the spiritual. Christ did not say, "Labor not," but rather, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth." Our God despises idleness. He has declared in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Some are not guilty of idleness, but are at the same time committing grave error. They work day and night, but for the wrong thing, the meat which perisheth. Their one interest in life seems to be in making money. God's servant said, thy money perish with thee. Now, Christ is not against anyone's being industrious. In fact, he has given some people tremendous business ability with the accompanying gift of making money. The wrong comes in the failure to use the money properly. Money used for the glory of God can be meat which endureth. To squander it on our own selfish interests can be meat which perisheth. If you want to have the time of your life, see how much of your money you can put to work for God. If you have the money-making faculty, remember that it is a gift from the Lord. Thank God for it and use it for His glory. But if riches increase, set not your heart upon them, the Bible says. Do not worship riches. Invest your money in the service of the Lord. If you do, you will find supreme happiness never known before. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but invest all you are and have in the souls of people. This is meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Those in the audience to which Jesus was speaking were selfish, carnal natures, interested primarily in self-gratification. But the grace and mercy of God is just the opposite. These people were interested in taking. God desired to give. Jesus, in speaking of the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, referred to it as that which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Even though their motive was insincere, God was willing to give them this life if they would receive it by faith. Christ knew the motives of everyone in his audience, but he still desired to give them life. He knew their past. He was familiar with their wickedness, but his grace was sufficient. And dear friend, it still is. Jesus Christ offers forgiveness to anyone today who will trust him by faith. It's the only way to come. Don't think you're going to earn your way to God. There is no possible escape from your sins through trying to earn your way. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet I meet people all the time who are trying to be saved. They're doing this, they're doing that. They try to do nice things for other people. And that's good. But listen, it doesn't save anybody. It's nice to do good things for other people. And I wish more people had the spirit of friendliness and love reaching out to their neighbors and their loved ones. There is so much hatred and enmity in the world. But doing nice things will never get anybody to heaven. What could you do that would in any way compare with what Jesus did on the cross for your sins? He gave every ounce of his blood. He didn't have to die. He chose to die. He died for your sins and for mine that we might have an escape from the burden of sin. And someday, from the penalty and power of it. God has delivered us. We shall never face judgment. We have been delivered by the grace of Almighty God. If you haven't been delivered yet, now is your time, friend. Come to Jesus. We're going to pray in just a minute or two, and I'd like to pray for you. Let Jesus come into your heart. By faith, just simply say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I want to be saved. I know you died for me. I confess the fact of my sin, and I'm sorry for it. But Jesus, come into my life, and he will. Blessed God, we know many are looking to you right now. Meet them as you promised, I pray, and save them for all eternity. We know that they will rejoice in the new life. Lead them by your hand. Guide them in the new experience, and I shall praise you in the name and for the sake of Jesus my Lord. Amen.